Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Tech Doctor Podcast. This is your host, Robert. Glad to have you along for the ride today because we're going to have fun. I've got someone who hasn't been on the podcast before from California. She's a broadcaster and works in radio reading services and I think does many other things as well. Her name is Jolie Mason. And Jolie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. You know, I'm a huge fan of this podcast. I think you just do a fabulous, fabulous job. I love the fact that you not only talk about technology, but it's always very personable. So it's the idea of that very friendly, wonderful style.
Well, thank you so much. That's a nice thing for you to say. And, you know, it is important to me that we bring the human being into the technology, because I don't think the technology would be a lot of good if human beings weren't behind it. So I like to find that blend, and I hope we are able to do that this afternoon. I think we will be able to. And maybe the way to start that actually is, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'm Jolie Mason. I'm the program director for the Los Angeles Radio Reading Service. I also do a radio show out here in Los Angeles on KPFK. It's the Pacifica station out here, so it's 90.7 FM. I have a fabulous seeing-eye dog. Her name is Ella Fitzgerald, and she's a golden retriever, and she's here at the broadcast board with me. We're in master control at the radio station, and let's see what else. I play bongos and percussion at church. I love Hawaiian music. My very favorite music is Hawaiian music. And
well, how cool is all that?
Yeah, sure. Those are Jolie Mason things.
I had three dogs from the seeing eye, so I can relate to that. And I'm a musician. I can relate to that. So we have lots of things to talk about.
We'll have to get together and do a musical group at some point.
That sounds like a plan. Actually, I heard about you from a relatively new iOS app called Zello.
I heard
you on one of the Zello channels, and you were mentioning your radio show, and I went back and listened to one of your radio shows and was really intrigued by all the things that you all were talking about and by you personally, and just wanted to have a chance to sit down and talk for a bit. So I'm really glad we have the chance to do this. So tell us a bit about the radio show. What's it called and what's it all about and how does it work?
It's called Access Unlimited. I've been doing the show for about 19 years. The theme is the idea of technology and all other aspects of the lifestyles for people with disabilities, their friends and family, people working in the field. In short, all of us.
Yes, and that was one of the things I was really intrigued by, was the introduction of the show, where the point was clearly made that it is about accessibility, but it pertains in some way or another to all of us, it seems like.
Yes, I think that's what really attracted me to the show. Originally, I was a listener to Access Unlimited rather than actually one of the co-hosts. I listened to a lot of things on KPFK, and when I lost my vision, I was about 27, when I started to have trouble with my eyesight, and then over the next 8 years, I had 11 different surgeries. So I've actually regained my eyesight twice and lost it three times.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was quite a difficult period in my life. And
had to be an emotional roller coaster.
The third time was okay. Believe it or not, the first time I lost my eyesight, it was just such a shock. Then I had an operation, one of the different operations that worked, and I got my eyesight back, and that was wonderful because I never thought I would go blind again. And then another problem started to develop, and I just totally freaked out. The idea of being blind again was so difficult. I just really couldn't take it. It was such a horrible, horrible thing, going blind the second time. And actually, it was a show that Mr. Rogers was doing that I was listening to by mistake. And he said, "I like you just the way you are." And that was surprising to me because I seriously was contemplating simply getting well enough after that surgery failed to kill myself.
Yeah.
And to do that in a nice way, because I'm a nice person. And that kind of thing. I didn't want to trouble anybody, but I just couldn't take the idea of being blind again. And then when that Mr. Rogers show was left on accidentally by the lady who was my caretaker person at that point, that phrase, "I like you just the way you are," I think that's sort of how God feels about us. And it was just a huge change in my life, because I suddenly realized, well, I still could make a difference and I could still do things. And when I heard on KPFK an announcement of do radio for your community, I thought, well, gosh, I hope somebody who's blind is listening, because I really would like there to be a radio reading service like there was back in the Seeing Eye with the Eyes of New Jersey when I was getting my first Seeing Eye dog, mm-hmm. Yuma. Well, and then the announcement comes on even later at night. And I think, well, you know, I hope somebody who's blind is listening to this, because we need somebody to start a radio reading service around here. That's all there is to it. And believe it or not, it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the morning when I heard the announcement on again, do radio for your community. Join the apprenticeship program. And I thought, I might be the only blind person listening to this at that point. And then I realized, well, you know, I could do radio. You know, I could do that. And I realized I didn't know the first thing about radio. But what was the announcement? It was do radio for your community. So that's how I became an apprentice for KPFK and later an intern. And they had me co-host the show as a substitute co-host. And then at one point when the other two co-hosts both were going to be gone, they asked me to do the show solo. And I said, I will do that if I can become an official co-host rather than just a substitute intern person. And there you go. I got to be a co-host from then. That was about 20 years ago.
I love that story for a bunch of reasons, but I want to highlight a couple of them. One is that, you know, in my work as a psychologist at the university here in Texas, one of the most rewarding and I think one of the most difficult things that I always try to help people with is to really not just learn in your head, but learn in your heart that it's okay to be you, whoever you are and whatever you are. And, you know, that's the lesson that honestly I've seen more often than not is the one that when people do get that, and it's hard for a lot of people to get that, but when they do get it, they decide to stay alive and not kill themselves. And so I love that story for that reason. And the second reason I love it is because you heard about radio reading services and decided at first thinking someone ought to do it and then decided you could do it. And I just love that because, you know, it really is up to each of us as individuals, I think, to take responsibility and do those things that we want done, that we have passion for, that we feel like should be done. And you did it. So that's a very cool story. And thanks for sharing that.
Actually, that story has a very happy ending, because when I did actually regain my sight because of a different surgery, I had a lot of different things going on. I still pursued the idea of getting involved with the radio reading service and that stuff. So when, unfortunately, a different problem came up and I was told I would probably go blind unless this series of 3 experimental surgeries worked, and they didn't. And so I did go blind. It was so interesting because everybody expected me, since they'd seen me go blind the second time, for me to freak out. And you know what? It was just absolutely no problem. I was just kind of like, I've been blind before. I can do that again. It's no problem.
So and you might say third time is the charm, huh?
Yeah. It's okay. I don't mind seeing, mind you. It would be fine tomorrow if I woke up sighted. I promise I would keep doing the radio reading service and things like that. But it was, you know, it's not the big deal that I originally thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that is really amazing how it worked out that way, and somehow you were able to, by that point, make the adjustment and make the adaptation and accept kind of the way things are. And that's a really great thing to hear about. I do have a couple questions about the show. How does one who doesn't live in the LA area listen to this show, should they want to do so?
You would go to the KPFK webpage, kpfk.org. and listen. The show is on live streaming from 7 to 8 on Wednesday evenings. So you would simply go to the webpage at that time and click on Listen Live. Or, of course, you can listen to archives of the show by going to the KPFK archives. Access Unlimited with those two A's. We're the first in the list. And you simply select the date that you want and click on either podcast if you want to download it as a podcast, or you can listen to it. And at that point, so you can just decide what you'd like to do as far as listening to a particular show or actually having it as a podcast and good things like that.
Okay, great. And can you download a feed that will bring the show in to iTunes or into a podcatcher, or do you just download each show individually straight from the website?
You know, I don't know if you can select an individual podcatcher that you would want. They do have one there that they recommend, I noticed on the webpage when I was looking at that. I actually don't get the podcast of the show because I'm
not
familiar with
it.
So I'm actually not sure the answer to that. There is a podcaster program that they suggest you download, and you can see that on the webpage.
Okay, well, people can check that out. And so I don't know whether there's a whether the show is listed in iTunes or not as a podcast. A lot of the podcasts are, and some of them aren't, but that may be another way to subscribe. I just don't know that for sure. Haven't looked to see. But anyway, it is. I did go on the website and did listen to one of the shows, actually downloaded one of them, which was an MP3 file, and played it on a BookSense. So it's quite easy to download the files and play them on most any player that will play an MP3, unprotected MP3 file. So it's really quite easy to access the show. And I think it's a show that probably a lot of us outside of your area may not be familiar with, but hopefully with podcasts like this one, you'll get some new listeners. So let's see how that works out.
That would be a joy.
And so how does that blend then with your work at the reading service? I couldn't understand if those are two different jobs or how that works for you.
Oh, I'm a 100% volunteer at KPFK, and in fact, they have hundreds of programmers there that are volunteer programmers that put together the different shows for KPFK. At the Radio Reading Service, I'm the director, the program director, and the founder of the Radio Reading Service. So I decide, for example, what time a particular program would go on the air. I decide if something's going to be preempted. I'm the person who decides when something is going to be scheduled. I'm the person who decides a show is actually going to be on our air or taken off, that kind of thing.
Well, that sounds like a lot of responsibility, and you must be a busy woman with doing all those things.
Robert, if there were six of me, we would all be busy.
I can hear that. Yes, I think it kind of works that way around my household as well. It's pretty hard to get it all done sometimes, but it really sounds like you have a real passion for both those activities, but I really hear it for the reading service, that given that you had the idea and sounds like got it going and direct it. So that's really being involved in it from the ground up.
You know, it's on iBlink Radio on the iPhone, and to me that is just like heaven to be able to mention to other people in other parts of the country when they talk about the LA Radio Reading Service and they'd love to hear it. I said, do you have an iPhone? Go to iBlink Radio, and there in the reading services is California, and we're the first on the list in California.
Well, that's great, because that gives anybody anywhere in the world the opportunity to listen to the LA Radio Reading Service. And that's really one of the neat things about iBlink Radio. They did a nice job of pulling a lot of important content like that together, that if you have an iOS device or an Android device, you can download iBlink Radio free from the App Store. And before you know it, be listening to the LA Radio Reading Service, along with a ton of other podcasts and events that are going on at Saratech and all kinds of different things. It's a really great app, actually.
Yeah. you know, what frustrates me is it shouldn't be called iBlink Radio. It should be called like iBlink Everything, because it's got the tutorials in there. And I used to listen to those all with my iPhone tutorials over and over again when I was first using my iPhone. And it's, as you mentioned, it's got the different podcasts and just a list as long as your arm of all kinds of different wonderful podcasts. I found out about a lot of podcasts I didn't know and things like that. And there's just not only the wonderful interviews and things, but there's the stuff from Blind Bargains. You name it. It's in iBlink Radio. So I call it iBlink Everything.
Yeah, iBlink Radio is truly iBlink Everything. You're right about that. Yeah. And it keeps growing and keeps changing. And I'm really excited that they did such a great job. And it's gotten mentioned a few times on the App Store as a prime app. So hats off to Saratech for developing that. And obviously, since you mentioned that, you clearly are an iPhone user. Do you use any of the other Apple products, or just the iPhone?
Oh yeah, I have a MacBook Pro. And one last thing about the iBlink Radio, the Saratech people were kind enough to put the Rose Parade broadcast. We do audio description, and I'm just a huge believer. I'm a pioneer in audio description out here in California. And they put our Rose Parade broadcast on iBlink Radio, so that was just wonderful.
I listened to that broadcast and really enjoyed it. I think probably enjoyed that parade more than I've ever enjoyed a parade because of that broadcast. So that was really cool that you all did that.
It just makes it so alive. It's wonderful to be there at the site. Also, if people are in Los Angeles over the new year, definitely give us a call here at the Radio Reading Service, because you and your family can all come down and sit literally a hand's distance away from the parade and hear all of the music and the bands and the wonderful descriptions of the horse units and stuff. But the thing people don't know is that each one of the floats has its own beautiful scent of all the flowers and stuff. It is just magnificent.
Oh, that is fabulous. And it would be so much fun to see it live like that, because it was a bit hard to hear some of the music and so forth on the broadcast.
It was our first time, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm going to do a lot of exploring with the idea of different kinds of miking, so that we just have more of the we do a radio broadcast of that also. That was our television broadcast that you were listening to. That simulcast with the picture of House and Gardens TV, HGTV. Their version of the Rose Parade. Our radio broadcast literally is down at our site there where we're all sitting, and that has just a huge amount of sound and things like that. So I was interested in hearing the feed that you were hearing. When I listened to that again, I realized, oh, we have to do a lot more of just getting more of that parade right there where the listener is hearing it.
If there was some way to blend the two broadcasts, to get the audio of the music and everything that you apparently pick up so great on the radio with the description, I don't know how you would combine.
Oh,
those
we
two.
Will. We will, Robert.
But I bet you will find a way to do it. And
yeah, that was just our first time.
Well, that was a great, it worked great for a first time, you know, and it's such a cool idea. I don't know that I know I have never heard a parade video described before. So I was kind of excited when I saw that come across the feed that was going to be on iBlink Radio.
2013, that'll be our year.
All right, so I'll put that on the calendar. I'll be looking forward to that next year. Just sit back and listen and see how it goes. Sounds like
it's
fun.
Yeah.
Sounds great. So how did you get into the whole Apple ecosystem? What made you decide to go for the iOS devices and the MacBook and all that stuff?
You know, a long time ago, I was a beta tester for the VoiceOver, for the initial screen reader program for the Apple IIe a long, long, long time ago. But I actually got more into the Unix system. I worked for Unisys and actually developed a screen reader that I wrote for Unix, because there wasn't anything available for Unix. So for a long time, I actually used my own programming to do screen reading and stuff like that. And then I went to Window Eyes, and eventually kind of went back to the Mac and the iOS and stuff like that. I got an iPhone because my other phone was broken. I had a Nokia 6620 and just absolutely loved it. It was a wonderful little talking cell phone and really just had a lot going for it.
It was a great phone.
Yeah, but it didn't last forever. And so my husband, who had wanted for Christmas, my birthday, and whatever to give me an iPhone, and I'd always resisted, saying, oh, you know, I just got so much going on. I need my phone. I don't want some big, huge learning curve, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when the phone broke, that was it. I was just going to have to go through that process of learning the iPhone. And, you know, it is kind of difficult at first, but now I just couldn't live without it. I do absolutely everything with the iPhone.
What did you find difficult about it at first?
I think, interestingly enough, it's that you can't actually ask sighted people what's going on, so you're kind of in your own little world. The gestures and things like that always seem to be about twice as hard as they are for the sighted person. The sighted person just selects something or whatever. The person who's blind double taps, or, you know, with three fingers swipe up, or four finger tap at the bottom, or, you know, whatever. There are a whole series of little complicated gestures that do all kinds of absolutely wonderful things, but you do have to learn how to use them. And so there was that idea of kind of developing that new repertoire, just like learning a new instrument.
You're right. The gestures are different by necessity for if you're using VoiceOver than they are if you're not. And so there is a bit of a learning curve there. And fortunately, I don't know when you started with the iPhone, but I started with the 3GS, which was the first.
Me too. I have a 3GS right now, Robert.
Okay. So that was the first accessible one. And I was very excited when it came along with VoiceOver built in. And like you had no experience, as none of us did, with accessible touch screens. And realized at that point there was that bit of a learning curve that you talked about. Although I think I was honestly so excited about it that it didn't take me long to learn it. I was so absorbed by it and wanted to do it so badly, because I had always thought the iPhone would never be accessible to a blind person. So when it came along that it turned out to be, it was like a huge bonus. It was like a huge deal for me. For some reason, I just really felt very passionate about it. And so there is a learning curve. Fortunately, Apple has gotten better, I think, with the iPhone 4 and the 4S, and of course, mainly I'm talking about the software. Really, they've built in practice capabilities, and there's some good documentation now, both from Apple and from other people who have documented. And there's a brand new edition of a book out by Anna Dresner and Dean Martineau, all about using the accessible iPhone. That book just was updated to include iOS 5. And so really good materials out there to help people now that weren't there when we started back with the 3GS. And
And you haven't mentioned Apple Viz. We just had them on the radio show on KPFK on Access Unlimited. And Stella from App Advice was on, and we had Austin Serafin from Behind the Curtain, and oh my goodness gracious, it was just absolutely wonderful. Are you familiar with Apple Viz?
Yeah, Apple Viz is really a great site, and it's maturing a whole lot. They've got tons of information about apps for the iOS devices and apps now for the Mac, and they, of course, are instrumental in creating one of the most popular channels on the new app that we mentioned earlier called Zello, which is a walkie-talkie type app that lets you talk in real time back and forth to people all over the world. But Apple Viz has a channel on Zello where people who are interested in Apple Viz and Apple products and Apple devices can come together and talk about that and dozens of other things that people want to talk about. So AppleViz seems like it's really making it a name for itself these days with its website, its podcast, its Zillow presence. It's pretty exciting right now.
Yes, AppleViz, the lunch and snack.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. It's APPLE and then VIS, AppleViz. And Thomas Donville, the person who started that Zillow channel, Robert, was the person who actually was kind enough to come on Access Unlimited. And it was just such a pleasure to get to meet one of the people who was part of the editorial staff, because I actually had started a blog with Christine Chaikin called iPhone Access. And it was about that idea, kind of the eureka moments of finding out how to do something on the iPhone, because I really felt there wasn't something for people who were just starting out with it. And, you know, that didn't really catch on and that kind of thing. But happily, somebody has done it right. And that that AppleViz is just such a wonderful, wonderful contribution. And again, just as you mentioned, there's now guides and primers and all kinds of places to start. And, of course, there still is iBlink Radio with its tutorials and All With My iPhone. That tutorial and podcast was just fantastic.
Yes, and it's really great to see those materials come along. And I think that's really been an area that there needed to be some maturing happen, because it seems like the hardware and the software has been ahead of the documentation, ahead of the instructional materials and the training opportunities in some ways. And, you know, some of us grabbed onto it early on and were able to figure it out. But for a lot of people, these things aren't fun to try to sit down and figure out on your own, or fun to, it feels like it can feel very frustrating and very confusing. And so we definitely need this documentation and training and support. And I'm really glad to see that coming along. And I don't think it has really blossomed until just this year with things like AppleViz and some of the books and instructional materials. Mm-hmm. I still think it's a bit hard maybe for people to find that information. You kind of have to know someone or get with people who have been down that road before to tell you, well, this is where you need to go, because there's not one good single repository that I know about where one can go and get access to everything that you need. Maybe that's not possible, but it felt a bit frazzled to me.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of Anna Dean's book?
Getting Started with the iPhone and iOS 5 for Blind Users. And it's available from the National Braille Press.
Ah, fantastic.
It's available in Braille and hard copy Braille, and as a download, a Daisy download, and then a Braille format download. And so it's a really fabulous book. And I'm actually going to be talking to Anna on the podcast about the book next week. So
that is totally fantastic. Just fantastic. You know, I kept reading the regular user guide, the Apple user guide. I'd read it about three times all the way through. And every time I'd read it, I'd learn new stuff. And then I'd try to do the whatever they were saying with VoiceOver, because, of course, the regular manual just has one little chapter about VoiceOver, but obviously it's the manual for the entire iPhone. And some of that stuff just was not happening when I was reading it. And so sort of halfway through the fourth time I was reading the manual, the iPhone 4 came out. And so I started looking at that manual and all kinds of things like that. So it's so nice to have a real book that's actually dedicated to the idea of introducing people to that VoiceOver world of using the iOS devices.
Yes, and of course we will talk more about this next week, but it really is a book. I consider it the Bible of the accessible iPhone. Anyone who has need to use VoiceOver with an iOS device should find some way to get themselves a copy of this book from the National Braille Press, because it's really that good.
You know, there's a VoiceOver channel on Zello as well, and it's VOICE and then capital OVER, all one word, VoiceOver. That's another Zello channel that's really oriented, again, that for people who are blind and using their iPhone. So that's another really great one to use. I too, by the way, when I originally got the iPhone, it was just like Christmas. It was the idea of on that front page, there were those 20 different apps or whatever, all of them accessible. I'd never had a talking VU meter, but I had certainly had incredibly expensive talking timers and, the money reader I'd gotten, I think, cost $400 or whatever, and a color thing, and all kinds of technology that was very, very expensive. And to suddenly have all of these wonderful things that, you know, came with the phone was just amazing.
Yeah, those things that came with it were wonderful. But just the fact that for a few dollars, you can add an accessible money identifier and you know, 600,000 other apps if you can seek them out. Not all of them are accessible, but a large portion of them are. And they really do work, and they don't interfere with one another because of the way the architecture is designed for in iOS. And so the apps, to me, are the thing that really make the iPhone incredibly exciting. And I do understand, however, that it's a little bit hard sometimes to keep all your apps straight. But apparently, rumor has it that you have a tremendous organizational scheme for your apps. Tell us about that. How do you organize your phone?
You know, that's funny. You're not the first person to have said that to me. A number of people have been really interested in that same solution to that same problem. I did want to mention before we left the other topic with accessibility for apps and finding the right app for the right thing. App advice, the people I had on last week's show, Stella Vialano from App Advice, had mentioned that they also are going to develop some sort of certification that something actually is voiceover friendly, and have that identified as part of their database on App Advice. That's all one word, APP, and then capital A, DIVE, App Advice, which is also an app. They're going to create some sort of certification that actually will identify something as voiceover friendly as well.
I'm not familiar with that app. What does that app do?
Oh, I love App Advice. Oh my gosh, App Advice is wonderful because it is exactly my kind of strategy. It has lists, for example, of different apps that pertain to the same kind of thing. So Stella Vialano, for example, did a list of essential apps for daily living for people who are blind. And that's got all the ones you might expect about, light detectors and money readers and things like that. But then there's just about 60 of those. She comes out with another wonderful app list, which was games and entertainment. And Austin Serafin was the person who helped with that. And we're kind of in the process of looking at developing an app list that I want to propose to her for different professional apps that you use kind of in a business setting, like, you can text with your iPhone and just all kinds of things like that. You can do recording. You can record telephone calls and make lists and notes and dictations and all that kind of stuff. Sort of those professional business type apps, and make a list of those for people who are blind that also all work with VoiceOver. So here's how here's the answer to your question. I was rapidly approaching a totally, completely full iPhone. I was on my 10th page and about halfway through my 10th page of apps when I realized I really had to discover a better way of organizing things on the iPhone, so that one, I would be able to find apps, because I kept running into the problem of, I know I got an app that did that, but I don't quite remember the name well enough to find it using search, or even if you do find it in search, you're in the app and it doesn't tell you what page you're on, and all that kind of stuff. So here's what I did. The front page of my iPhone, I actually have kept pretty much just like you would expect. It's the way the iPhone kind of comes out of the box. But instead of maps, I use folders a lot. So there's a navigation folder, and instead of just the weather app, I have a weather folder. And so it's that idea. Instead of just camera or photos, I put those into a photography folder. So it's that idea. I have the regular kinds of things that you would see when you originally open the iPhone, but I've obviously put my blog on the front page, and I put Candleshore, that blog, on the front page as well, because I just always listen to that. And so it's, again, that idea of organizing the front page, because that's literally just a lot of different things you can get to very, very quickly. And remember, when you're organizing, that the corners are key. If you put something in a top corner or a side corner or something like that, that is going to be much easier to find and to use and to click on than something that's kind of buried there in the middle columns or middle rows. And so I use that feature as well.
I have a good idea of how you have your first page organized with the apps that you use on a regular basis, and in with names of folders similar to what the names of the original apps were on that page. But what do you do beyond that? What happens when you flip to the second page?
Okay, well, the first page is kind of what I use with other people, and the second page is what I use for myself. So the second page are all the things that I'm using on a daily basis for the things I do here at the radio station. So I have audio production apps, I have special effects sound apps, and then towards the bottom of that page, I have the social media apps, my accessibility apps, and business apps. And also in there is a nice little cooking folder that has kitchen apps. I'm sorry, it's called Kitchen folder that has the different things that I use with cooking and that kind of stuff. So that second page is kind of what I do for me. The third page I leave almost entirely blank. And in the upper left-hand corner, remember, when you go to an iPhone page for the very first time, you'll be given the focus will be in that upper left-hand corner. So there'll be one thing spoken to you. So I use that literally as kind of the tab of the page. So my third page, that folder is simply called New Information and Tutorials. And that third page is mostly blank because that's where new apps come in. So I leave that all the way blank except that very top row where I have like single button apps. I have a call work app there that you just tap that and it calls the voice answering machine for the radio reading service and that kind of stuff. There's a on off for Bluetooth, and that's across the top on the third page. But all the other pages are organized the exact same way that Apple would organize apps. They're organized by the Apple categories. So after I learn an app, which I learn on the third page, I collect apps I haven't worked with yet on the third page. And the user guide or the manual or the web page about that app, I put a link to that in that upper corner folder that's called, you know, New Information Tutorials. And then as I learn that app, it goes on to one of the other pages, and the pages are introduced by the categories. There are 22 categories, and I know them all by heart at this point because I've done this for quite a long time, but it's easy to group the pages because now, the way I have it, I've used three of my 11 pages, and in fact, that third page is mostly blank most of the time. And so now I just have, eight more pages left of the iPhone. And so you can group the categories by the Apple categories. And so, for example, it's easy to group business and finance, entertainment and games and stuff like that. And then when I eventually get that page full of different apps in different folders and things, I will split those. So I would, for example, have a folder called games, though I don't have enough games. But say I did. Yeah. And when that folder has 11 apps in it, I take a look and decide we're going to split this folder. It's getting big enough. What is a way to actually split that? So there are kind of two categories of games. For example, when I used to have everything that was audio production all in one folder, and that included the special effects, different apps that I have. Well, when I saw that that was 11 apps, it was time to split it, so now there's an audio production folder that has everything about recording and stuff like that, and another folder called special effects. So what you can do for the other pages is actually use the categorization that Apple itself uses, and if you don't know what category an app is in, Apple Viz, of course, tells you the categories of the app. So I was so delighted to find that out. Of course, the nice thing is also you can send yourself down at the bottom where it says tell a friend. You can be your own friend. And you can send yourself the page for that app from the web page, and it will tell you from the web store. It will tell you the category of that that app.
Those are great tips. And really, it brings home to me the idea that if you do your homework and you think your way through a good organizational system, it'll be much easier to locate and enjoy your apps, especially if you're like me, you and I, and have a lot of them.
Yeah, and then the very, very last page, people, I have kind of been in other apps category. So there's a folder called other kitchen apps, other dictation apps, other this and that, and they're the ones that aren't accessible, but I feel they're not they're still worthwhile. I'm not going to delete them. And at some point in my life when I get just a huge amount of free time, I'm not sure when that will be, I'm going to look into getting those apps, you know, contacting the developers and talking to them about, you know, making the app more accessible for people like myself who are using VoiceOver.
Excellent. Well, thanks for telling us about all that, because I don't know that we've ever really talked other than about the fact that you can put apps in folders. We've never really talked about on the Tech Doctor podcast how one might organize their apps. So those are some great tips for people to think about. And believe me, people, it won't take you all that long to gather a whole lot more apps than you suspect you might at first, especially if you're like me, and it sounds like Jolie as well. You know, it doesn't take long to discover lots of things you're interested in out there in the App Store.
And you get to be interested in, you know, I've always loved birds and bird calls and that kind of stuff. My twin sister is now having trouble with her eyesight, but back in the day where she could still see and stuff like that, she had cockatiels and parakeets and stuff like that, and I just loved birds. But really, the idea of getting interested in birds was always something someone else had to do and tell me about it. And now there are a bunch of bird apps on the iPhone, so it's just really exciting to get to do my own birding, as it were. And Zello has a channel called Birding by Ear. When this person, Jerry, had mentioned that he had created that channel, I skipped on over there like somebody had just created a new Christmas. It was just the most wonderful thing. So he told me about a number of different bird apps that I hadn't had yet, and it's kind of like, oh, I did my telefriend, so I had them there waiting for my app budget to allow me to buy the BirdTunes app and the handheld birds app. Do you have either one of those?
I do not, but like you, I am interested in birding, and I'll have to sign up for that Zello channel because I hadn't heard about that. But I do have a bird app, and you're making a really great point that it is a great way for people who are blind and visually impaired to enjoy birds and to actually learn about what calls birds make and learn to identify those birds by their calls. I actually have an app called Chirp USA, and I've had it for a while, but this is a good time maybe for me just to demo that app quickly here for you all so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. I'm going to bring up my iPhone here.
From most to least common.
And go to the top of the page, and it said from most to least common. And that's the way that I have the birds in my area categorized in this app. So probably the most common bird in my area would be
Northern Cardinal.
The Northern Cardinal. And I'm going to let you hear what the Northern Cardinal sounds like. So Uh, that gives you an idea of one of the birds. And there are just hundreds of birds in this app. And you can go through the app, and each bird will be identified by its name. You double tap on the name, and you can actually hear the bird call. And the quality of the recordings of these calls are just excellent. And it's a great way to identify birds. And this app also contains a built-in quiz that you can quiz yourself on bird identification and see how well or poorly you're doing. I have not used that feature, and so do not know to what extent the quiz is or isn't accessible. I need to explore that more, so I don't want to mislead anyone and tell you that I know that it's accessible when I'm not sure about that. I don't really have any reason to believe it isn't, but I haven't actually experimented with it. I've just used it to go through and listen to the different birds at this point. But the springtime, the time we're in, we're recording this now near the end of April, is a fabulous time to get one of these apps and learn something about these birds.
Now that's Chirp USA. Now I have iBird, and in fact iBird comes in different flavors. It has iBird West, so I have the iBird Western birds. I have iBird Light, which is just kind of a general thing. What I like is they have a description of what the bird looks like and what the flight of the bird looks like, and also a kind of pronunciation of how you would pronounce that call.
Which app is that has a description of?
It's called iBird. So iBird. With like I, right. And then there's iBird, and then the region. So iBird West, for example, or iBird Light is the free one. And the nice thing is, like, it will say about the sparrow, it will say, like, natch, 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 put the kettle on or whatever, and that kind of thing. And so if you're listening to that, you can kind of hear that pronunciation guide and listen for that in the call.
Cool.
And so there's actually kind of a nice sort of little slang that goes on. It reminds me of kind of the rhyming slang in Australia, that they actually use words to remind you of how the calls are done.
Yeah, I had a friend who was really into birding, bird watching, and that's the way that he taught me some of the birds back when I lived in North Carolina. Was he would make up things or new phrases that sounded like the call, and that's a great way to remember which call goes with which bird. And so that sounds like an app that I'll have to grab, and maybe others would be interested in grabbing that. So
BirdTunes is another one I'm going to recommend, and Handheld Birds. Jerry, the person who did the Zello channel, Birding by Ear, three different words, Birding by Ear, is the person who told me about the pronunciation, because I'd seen that under the little microphone where it says tiny speaker in iBird, and I didn't know what that was. That little sort of nonsense phrase at first is what I thought it was. Then now, when he had said that last weekend, I now completely understand what that phrase is. That phrase is how to remember the call. Mm-hmm. And it's just fantastic. So Jerry really taught me something there, plus the names of those other two apps, Handheld Birds and then that BirdTunes.
Great. Sounds like that's really good information for people who care about birds. And I understand that another thing apparently that you do a lot with your iPhone is cooking, tracking recipes and so forth. Tell us just a little bit about that. How do you use your phone in cooking?
That is such a blessing, let me tell you, because before the iPhone, I would have my mother or sister, my twin sister or somebody who could do this, read to me on my cell phone. I remember that Nokia 6620, and you could record. And so I would record the recipes that they were reading, and then I would put the iPhone into loop mode and have that little recording repeat over and over again as I was cooking something. So I could only do recipes somebody else had looked up, and I talked over on a telephone call. That was my cookbook, because I had a cookbook on my iPhone. And now I really do have a fabulous, fabulous I have three different apps that have to do with cooking or shopping or, groceries and stuff like that. So there's just a wonderful way to use the iPhone. Now, I will say, everybody, The iPhone is perfectly happy to be inside a Ziploc bag. And in fact, I put my iPhone in a Ziploc bag, a little baggie, when I bring it into the kitchen because you don't want it to get it messed up. So,
good point.
Yeah. So I put it, there are accidents in the kitchen. And,
yeah. You're right. And that Ziploc bag idea is great for the kitchen, but it's also great to carry one in your pocket when you're out and about, just in case you get rain, the weather turns bad, something happens where you need to protect your phone. That's a really good way to do it, is with a Ziploc bag.
Mm-hmm.
They're cheap and do a good job.
And then sometimes I'll actually put a piece of scotch tape along the side of the iPhone, again, just to hold the Ziploc bag firmly against the iPhone in the kitchen so that I'm getting a good connection with my finger when I'm doing the different things. So I have a folder that has a lot of different kind of list-making apps and sort of things of helping you figure out what you're going to get and stuff like that. Grocery Smart is a nice one. Shop is another nice one. Grocery Smart I like because it's literally like being in the store. It has all the different aisles, and it tells you all the names of all the products. And that's a good way if you're trying to remember things you might be out of and that kind of idea. It just reminds you, get skim milk or whatever it is you want to get. It also has some nice features. It has an organic section, which is good. And it has a, I've forgotten what they exactly call the name of it, but it's something like World Cuisine or something. And they have things like soy sauce and guacamole, which to me don't seem to be that World Cuisine-ish, but maybe.
Yeah, and, it's great to have that kind of variety, though, and that kind of information.
Shop is another one of the ones that makes lists and stuff. I also use List Recorder a lot. In fact, I use List Recorder probably in each section of what I'm doing. I use it when I'm making the lists and stuff like that. I use it when I'm actually cooking in the kitchen because I have different recipes and stuff. So that's all the different things about different recipes you can get. There's a the app, when you get the little icon, is called Crock-Pot, but it has an incredibly long name, and I can't do the name correctly. It's something like Crock-Pot Virtual Slow Cooker Timer or something like that.
Oh.
And the other one is Crock-Pot All Recipes, Crock-Pot Slow Cooker Recipe Menu Plan or something. Anyway, but here's how you find those two apps. If you go to the App Store, type in the word Sunbeam, because Sunbeam is the person who holds the register on the word Crock-Pot, right? And so, believe it or not, there comes up that timer app. And, I think these apps are free, by the way. And it's incredibly, incredibly long name. And then also in that description is how I found out about the Recipe Finder app. And so those are two wonderful apps. The Whole Foods app also. You don't even have to have a Whole Foods market in your area, but the Whole Foods app is just fantastic for different recipes. You can put a couple of ingredients that you have, and it will find all the ingredients that it has that uses those particular ingredients in the recipe and wonderful things like that. And then the next part, of course, is the cooking. And so I have a cooking folder, and there's a great app called Cooking, which, by the way, has no recipes in it at all, but it has a lot of different conversions and all kinds of stuff. That app is so wonderful because in the conversion page, it has antique conversions. So you can actually look up the Shakespearean amounts that they're talking about.
Oh, cool.
with when you see someone measuring something in a draft of this or a hogshead of that. All of those are in there. So that's a very interesting app, and it also has, of course, things about substitutions. There's another app, I think it's called All Recipes, that also has a nice substitution section. So if you're out of baking powder or whatever, it will tell you how to make your own baking powder and good things like that.
Well, and, between...
So I'm big on the cooking with the iPhone.
Yeah, and that's great information because I think really people are just now beginning to realize some things that you might not automatically conclude you would use your iPhone for. There are actually great apps for it. I mean, just think about it. Who would have thought we would end up talking about identifying birds and finding new ways to organize and navigate the grocery store and cooking and purchasing food and all that stuff is really right there on this little device if you just download these apps and learn to use them. So that's really fun and exciting, and I hope people find this information useful because I don't think we've talked about it before.
You know, and it's things like those business apps with faxing. That really helped last week at the radio station at KPFK because Henry, my co-host, had left his office too soon to print out. He hadn't discovered there was one more email to print out with the questions from the producer. And so I was able there at KPFK. They didn't have an error printer or any of that kind of stuff. But I said, you know what? I can go to that email. I can pull up the email. I can take that and do a forward. So cut and paste the information from that. Go to the text app, the text-free app, and put it into that and text it over to the KPFK. It's the printer right behind the switchboard. And so there was the copy that he needed as a sighted person to look at that had the questions and stuff and the information prepared about the guest.
Excellent.
It's just absolutely excellent. And it was, you know, the blanket over there in the corner was the person making it possible to actually kind of save the day. And I think that makes a difference also.
You have to love that, you know, and the fact that you combine some ingenuity with the technology that was available to you right there is just really what makes this whole iOS world that we live in now so exciting, because it doesn't matter anymore if you're blind or if you're sighted when it comes to creatively using the technology. We have the closest thing that I've seen, I think, in my lifetime to a level playing field, in the sense that, yes, we can do the same things with these apps that everybody else is doing. And that's very exciting to me. And I'm so glad to be living in a time where that's possible. And we hadn't seen that up until recently.
Oh, that Fastmall app. Do you have that one?
I don't.
Fastmall is free. Oh, you got to get this app. This app just made my experience at the Radio Reading Service so different, because the Radio Reading Service actually is located at the Northridge Fashion Center. It's inside a mall. And, it's one of the outbuildings of the mall, but whatever. It's part of that whole idea of mall and how difficult it is when you're blind to get around a mall.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Fastmall, free app, by the way. Fastmall, you can select a place that you're at and a store that you want to go to, and it has the directory of all the stores. I did not know in the mall that I was part of and had been part of for years. For example, I didn't know that there was an Orange Julius. There were just all kinds of stores I didn't know about, but looking through the directory, there was a Build-A-Bear. I didn't particularly want a Build-A-Bear, but it was nice to know.
Nice to know, yeah.
Yeah. Great app. It's just, again, with the difference that has made.
Well, we've been gone for a bit more than an hour here, and I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I really appreciate you coming on the podcast early and talking to us about some of these neat things that you're doing and about these apps that you're using. And I'm hoping that maybe sometime I can talk you into coming back and doing this again.
Well, you have to return the favor, if you would, and join me on Access Unlimited on KPFK. That would be such a pleasure.
Well, I would love to do that, and hopefully.
Oh, you're so wonderful. And thank you again for having me. This has been just a delight.
Well, you're welcome. Is there anything you would like to leave people with as far as contact information or any parting words of any kind you'd like to say before we sign off here?
Well, you know, I really think that the idea of universal accessibility, and that's one thing that the iPhone has, I wish there weren't a separate set of gestures for people who are blind. It would be nice if Apple had seen fit to make it so that people who are blind just could use that without learning a whole lot of separate things, but at least it is the regular iPhone, and what they've done instead is have that voiceover for everybody, so anybody can just pick up an iPhone. I've done this with sighted people over and over again, had turned on voiceover for them, and I think that makes a difference. So have your sighted friends join in, do the screen curtain thing, you know, triple tap twice or whatever, and turn the triple tap three times, I think, actually, and turn the screen curtain on and give it to people who are blind and just have them recognize that they can do a huge amount. So it's not so hard to be blind, and those kinds of things, that it's just all about technology. Technology can overcome the handicap imposed by a disability, and that's what's really important to know. Contact information. I'm jolie1magic@gmail.com, or you can contact me through the LA Radio Reading Service. It's all one word, laradioreading@gmail.com, or just hang out on Zello. I'm on the AppleViz channel there. And, of course, Robert and I are going to be on that birding by ear, too, so that'll be nice.
Yes, we are, and we will certainly be meeting up on Zello, and I hope all of you will grab that app and come and join us there. If you want to contact me via email, the easiest way to do that is to send an email to techdoctor123, all one word, techdoctor123@gmail.com. Until next time, remember, as we always say at the Tech Doctor podcast, learning is all in your head. So long for now.